It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday. May God bless each one of you all this morning. Want to announce a couple of things before we get started, and that is we will not have a broadcast in the morning. So please pass the word on to people you know, people who you have invited to the broadcast, people who have invited you to the broadcast. Let's remind each other there's no broadcast tomorrow. However, that will be Friday. We will be back on Sabbath, but we will not be able to have a Sabbath service. So our morning will be our Sabbath service, okay? By the grace of God, that's how it will be. And at this time, I would invite my dear wife to have our opening prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together to be able to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words to our pastor. And fill him, Lord, with your spirit as we continue to grow in grace and wisdom. And this is prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Our opening song, brothers and sisters, is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
Amen. It's about time. My brothers and sisters, we are not going to have worship and wellness today because the message that we have, it's entitled The Cowardice versus the Courageous, or The Courageous versus the Cowardice. And it's really a message that we really need to hear. It affects all of us, affects every religion. There's a lot of cowardice that is mistaken as courage, and we're going to unmask and show you what courage really looks like. We learned yesterday that there's only two reasons why we mess up. What were they? And I know we haven't prayed yet. We're about to pray. We mess up. Men do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's the only reason why we mess up. Go back to yesterday's broadcast if you missed it. That's the only reason why people mess up. They don't know what God said, and though they may be Christians, you see, we have different reasons why we don't get to the truth, even if we are Christians, and then we don't know the power of God. So this message is going to deal with the power of God today. A lot of people think power deals with fighting in a certain way and winning and fighting against the Democratic Party, fighting against the Republican Party, whatever. People have their own little views as to what that looks like. But I'm here to tell you that, hold on a second, let me just adjust something here. Okay, very good. All right, thank you. We're going to learn what courage really is today. Amen? We're going to learn where courage really is today. And we're doing it in a very unique way, so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Father in heaven, thank you very much for the truth. We thank you for the love of the truth and for love itself. This power, Lord, that is much greater than any other emotion, than any other feeling, than any other principle. We pray that we will understand the power of love today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be studying one verse and what it really means in your life today, in the lives of everybody today. It's Isaiah 28, verse 9. Remember, why do we mess up? We either don't know the scriptures, or we don't know the power of God. We're going to talk about the power of God today. And I'm here to tell you that I'm just going to be straight with you today. Muslims, if they really, they don't know what I'm about to teach. Buddhists, they don't know what I'm about to teach. Hindus, they don't know what I'm about to teach. People who follow Hare Krishna, they don't know what I'm about to teach. And the sad reality is most Christians don't know what I'm about to teach. It's not about me patting myself on the back. I'm here to tell you what the scriptures actually say. Let's read. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. What in the world is that talking about? Well, brothers and sisters, that's the point. You see, the Bible is misunderstood because people try to put their own spin on it. You'll put a Muslim spin, a Nation of Islam spin on it. You'll put a Democratic spin on it. You'll put a Republican spin on it. You'll put a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Seventh-day Adventist spin on it. Brothers and sisters, you need to stop spinning on it and let God just tell you what he's trying to tell you, because it's for all of us, and all of us would be unified if we let God speak, if we knew the scriptures and the power of God. Let's talk about that power. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So God is basically saying, who will really understand the Bible? That's what he's basically asking. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And it's interesting how he answers it. It says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Are you talking about a little baby that just came off the mother's breast or just came off the bottle is going to be a Bible scholar? What in the world? I'm not going to be a Christian following that kind of reasoning. But you see, brothers and sisters, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says that when you study the Bible, you compare spiritual things with spiritual. See, we don't do that. We use our own Republican mindset, and we, from that mindset, we compare scripture, or our Democratic mindset, and we look at the scripture from that mindset, or our Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic, non-denominational, which is a denomination because they still have beliefs and they have a name, okay? But anyway, they want to call themselves non-denominational, that's fine. All of us, I'm including myself in it, we try to put our spin on it. When we do that, we are destined. And we're going to talk about this again, not on tomorrow. Why not tomorrow? Because we're not going to be on tomorrow. Mark your calendar. But we will be talking about this on Sabbath morning, okay? We're going to deal with not knowing the scriptures on Sabbath morning, okay? So the Bible says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. We have to let the Bible explain what it means to be weaned. See, a person like a Muslim might look at this and say, see, yo, you know, again, I gave you a story yesterday. It was a true story that happened to me. My encounter with the Nation of Islam, and they were trying to tell me that the Bible was a white man's book and the white people are trying to deceive you and all of that kind of stuff. And they have a militant, black militant mindset. That's the Nation of Islam. Then you have the Arab Muslims, and they have their various factions. Some are more radical than others and so on and so forth. But they don't know how to really fight, brothers and sisters. We know how to fight right. I'm not trying to say we fight like this with fists and bats and guns and knives, brothers and sisters. We got something more powerful than fists and bats and guns and knives and pepper spray and all dogs and water hoses and whatever else has been used to try to control a crowd. Nowadays, you try to control the crowd with popular opinion, you see. That's why homosexuality has moved in the way that it's moved. They want to use the power of mob violence or the mob. And even if it's not always physical violence, they will threaten you. We have so many on our side that if you don't side with us, we're not going to vote for you. That force. And then I watched a portion of the Republican debate, and the person asked the question, if President Trump was to win, how many of you all would side with him? And you should have saw everybody looking at everybody else and the hands, you know, kind of went up one at a time, and everybody looking at everybody else. And then, Pat, you know, I'm not going to mention all the names, but, you know, you just saw the cowardice on the stage, brothers and sisters. They all understand that if they don't say that, the majority won't vote for them. I'm talking about courage, brothers and sisters, not cowardice. You know, sometimes you might know a remedy that'll help somebody, but it's not a remedy that people would like to hear about. It's a remedy that might be despised, and most people, and please understand, I want to clarify this one. I'm not telling you that it's your calling to do this, but I am just simply saying that when I share it with people, you have people that will come against that, and they cannot, and they think they're using scripture, okay, to defend, and I ask a simple question. And the simple question was, okay, based on your scriptural interpretation, would you do this? Because it's the same thing. And they would not answer the question. We're going to learn about that on Sabbath, because if you are right in what you teach, you will be consistent in what you teach, okay? It is inconsistent, brothers and sisters, to say that you love God and you keep his commandments and you're not keeping the commandments. It's not consistent. But anyway, that's for Sabbath morning. We're talking about the power of God. Watch this. Lord, because we're talking about what does it mean to be weaned? It can't mean a baby is a Bible scholar. It can't mean that. Lord, this is Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. My heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. So I want to ask you a question. What does haughty mean? Well, you would answer, if you even somebody, some of us know, some of us might have to look it up in the dictionary. It's proud, pride, arrogance. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. Nobody can beat me. We're the best. Our nation is the best. Okay? We white people are the best. No, we black people are the best. No, we Hispanic people are the best. That's haughtiness. David said, my heart is not haughty. Then it says, neither are mine eyes lofty. Okay, well, lofty deals with the height of the trees. You know, you say lofty trees. Have you ever walked into a room and you just felt like, like real, real little, and everybody was looking over you like you did not exist? Has that ever happened to you? That's haughty. What's he doing here? You know, looking down at people, scowling at them with your nose. Like, what are you doing here? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Most Christians are going to be lost. Not because we don't have the right doctrine, but we don't have the power of God, which is love. Oh, let somebody do something that you don't agree with. You can't prove that they're wrong. You can't because you weren't there. All you heard was stories. And brothers and sisters, all you have to do is just look at some. We looked at a court case yesterday. A good lawyer can make anybody look guilty or innocent. And don't let them, they might have made a little mistake. They didn't do what you said they did, but they did something that's why it's important not to give the appearance of evil. You follow what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? And so what we do, we label people, we claim that we love them now. This is how we love people. We won't talk to them ever again. We never call them. We never say, hey, how you doing? I just wanted to call and find out how you're doing. No, because you judged them. You wicked Christian, you judge them. The Bible said, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. When you forgot all the sin that God brought you out of, and then you want to think that somebody else is living in sin, so you don't want to have anything to do with them, guess what's going to happen in the judgment? God's not going to have anything to do with you. That's what's going to happen. The Bible says so. Yes, the Bible says so. But when you've messed up, done it all bad, messed up, and that you are merciful to other people because you realize from what depth God has brought you out of, oh, brothers and sisters, there's going to come a time where when the record of all your fornication is brought forth, there won't be any record of that fornication. And when the record of all your drug dealing is brought up, there won't be any drug dealing on the record. And then when you look at all the lies and the pride and the false teachings or whatever you got involved in, there won't be anything in the record. That's because God erases the record of sin. Read about it, brothers and sisters. In Ezekiel 18, it says that if you do right and then you choose to do wrong, all your righteousness is forgotten. But if you've been doing wrong and then you choose to do right, all of your sin is forgotten, because it's not based on righteousness by works. It's based on an acceptance of the merits of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. Most Christians don't understand the gospel. They don't. That's why there's so much, the church is so messed up. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Weaned people. So what does that mean? Because remember, I'm sorry. Yeah, because it said that your eyes weren't lofty. You're not looking over people. That means you're loving people. You're kind to people. You're thinking about people. It says weaned people. The ones who are weaned. And it says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. So now, this is going to teach you a powerful lesson. What that teaches us is that the Bible is a spiritual book, and it explains itself. And you will not understand the Bible without the power of the Holy Ghost because he guides us into all truth, according to John 16:13. But now, according to 1 Corinthians 2:13, you must compare spiritual things with spiritual. You don't compare spiritual things with politics. You don't compare spirit unless you're trying to draw a contrast. Okay, I got that. But you don't use your political agenda to interpret the Bible. That's what's wrong with the Republican and the Democratic Party. So they have to find PhDs in the Democratic Party to try to explain away Sodom. And they try to say, well, it wasn't because they were homosexual. It was because at that particular time, that particular situation, they were trying to rape somebody. That is what they call hogwash. It was, the Bible says a man laying with a man is an abomination, brothers and sisters. And you're not supposed to do that. And the Bible makes it very clear. In the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and one of the characteristics is that they will be without natural affection. It is not natural for a man to have a romantic relationship with another man. The bottom line is that we want to excuse fornication. And we are headed for a national disaster. Why? Because both the Republican and the Democratic Party are ignoring this beautiful document that is based on biblical principles called the Constitution. And the Democrats want to say that, oh, homosexuality is our constitutional right. No, it is not your constitutional right to fornicate. No more than it's your constitutional right for a man and a woman to fornicate. And you see how you know? Just apply the principle. Just substitute something else that would be the same. They're basically trying to say that the government has to recognize this sin as a constitutional right. Well, then the government would have to recognize a new word that I just added to the dictionary. They add a lot of letters to the dictionary and words to the dictionary, LGBTQIA, and it just keeps going on. So I'm going to add polygamosexuality, okay? So I can be a man and I can have many men lovers, and I want to marry all of them. No, you can't marry all of them. Why not? Why do they legislate and adjudicate against polygamy? Isn't that my God-given right? Isn't it in the Bible? Okay? God has given man the opportunity to legislate on the last six commandments, and when they do it based on the Bible, God honors that nation. No, you shouldn't have a plurality of wives or a plurality of husbands, brothers and sisters. And so nobody in the gay community to this day, and I don't want to be accused of giving them an idea, okay? But nobody in the gay community that I've seen is actually arguing that I should be married to five men. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You're basically saying, or as it relates to your sexual desires, you want to force the government and all the people in this nation to recognize as a constitutional right who you sleep with. That is absurd. But it has gotten the attention of thousands and millions. And because they've got numbers, they use brute force. The force of we won't vote for you type of force. Sometimes it's physical force, but a lot of times I won't vote for you. And then people who are against them use physical violence against homosexuals. Brothers and sisters, God loves homosexuals. And you won't hear too many preachers say that because we don't know the gospel. God loves fornicators just like he loves homosexuals because they're just a different type of fornicator. God hates the sin. I tell the story all the time, brothers and sisters. You all know I'm into the health message that gay person called. I didn't know he was gay. He was telling me about his diabetes. I said, no problem, we can work with you. He was telling me, but I don't think you can help me. Okay, why, I'm trying to figure out why he thinks we can't help. Maybe there's something else wrong. Maybe the guy has AIDS or something. I'm trying to find out. I said, well, why do you keep saying I can't help you when I'm telling you I've worked with this situation and we've helped? He said, because I'm gay. I said, and? What does that have to do with anything? Probably half the people that need help are fornicating. That's probably why they're sick. I'm not saying everybody, brothers and sisters, but a life of sin brings stress. You fornicate, you got to hide from somebody else's husband, wife. You know, a life of sin brings stress. Looking over your back, wondering if somebody's going to steal from you. Especially if you got your money illegally. You're wondering if somebody else is going to come and steal it. That's stress, and stress brings on sickness. We got a lot of ground to cover. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that the Bible teaches that we have to be weaned. What does it mean to be weaned? We have to go then to Psalms 19. Okay, we got to go to Psalms 19 to find out what it means to be weaned. Okay? Psalms 19. Well, no, we already know that. It means you're not haughty. You're not lofty. You follow what I'm saying? That verse already gave it to us. If I'm not looking above everybody, thinking I'm better than everybody, that means I'm weaned. That's what that meant, okay? So what is God saying? He said if you want to understand truth, you got to be humble. And that is the lacking attribute in Christianity, in Islam, in Buddhism, in Hinduism. You know, I remember a little song said, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne, and it won't be Hare Krishna that's calling us home. Let's see what's the third one. Anyway, I forgot what it was. But anyway, it kind of named several of the different things and showed that it's got to be Jesus Christ, my friend. All right, so it said that we're weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So now, what is milk in the Bible? What? You're going to teach us milk? We know what milk is. It's that white stuff. That's not what it is. Just like weaned is not talking about a baby, milk is not talking about that stuff that comes from the mammary glands of mammals, okay? It says in Hebrews 5, 12, and 13, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you, which teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Let me tell you something. Most people who argue their point, who think they know the Bible, they are babes. Why? Because they haven't gotten to the foot of the cross. And when you're at the foot of the cross, you won't have a problem answering a simple question that would show whether your position is consistent. When you are at the foot of the cross, brothers and sisters, you will be honest in every way. You won't be judgmental. You won't be hard on people. You won't think you know so much. You see, the milk represents the first principles of the oracles of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there. By faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if you have not been converted, you don't understand the joy of Jesus Christ. And many a preacher, brothers and sisters, is not converted. I'm telling you what I know. You can preach, and you can even preach the truth, and you're not thoroughly converted. Brothers and sisters, when you're thoroughly converted, it's going to show in your smile. When you're thoroughly converted, it's going to show in your demeanor. When you're thoroughly converted, it's going to show in the kindness and love that you have for people, brothers and sisters. Being thoroughly converted does not mean that you're not afraid to teach against the conference. A lot of people can do that, and a lot of people have done that are not converted, and many of them went out from us to no longer be with us, okay? That is not what courage is, just because you're willing to speak up against something. Brothers and sisters, courage deals with your own spirit. Some people are just fighters. That's not courage. Just because you're not scared to fight physically somebody, that's not courage. Courage is, can you have the power when somebody's talking about you to walk away? Do you have that kind of courage to rule your spirit, brothers and sisters? That's courage. Milk represents the first principles of the oracles of God. Watch this. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So what happens, brothers and sisters, is many of us have never reached the cross and given ourselves fully to God. Maybe we don't want to do that because we think the Bible is a white man's book. Maybe we don't want to do that because we think the Bible is a black man's book. Maybe we don't want to do that because we've been lied to by the Nation of Islam or some other Muslim group. Or maybe we don't want to do that because we're in some other form of, maybe we don't want to do that because we were abused by a pastor or a priest or somebody else that identifies with Christianity, brothers and sisters, and we have never given our heart to Christ. I'm telling you, friends, if you have not given your heart to Christ and said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life, if you've never done that, you don't have peace. And that's what's wrong with the world today. There's very little peace. Let me tell you what Jeremiah 31:3 says. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, brothers and sisters, a lot of organizations think that they're powerful because they have a uniform. We got our men dressed up in bow ties and we know karate and so on and so forth. Or, you know, we carry some guns at church and we know how to defend ourselves, you know. Even the Ku Klux Klan, brothers and sisters, that's a religious organization. They have worship services, okay? I'm just telling you, a lot of people do stuff in the name of the Lord. This Aryan supremacy thing. Or Black Power movement, brothers and sisters, it's all the same. If you have not had a relationship with Christ and given your heart to Christ, you do not have peace. And a lot of people are out there that do not have peace, brothers and sisters. And that's what's wrong with the world today. God loves us we're drawn with love, it said. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. It didn't say we're drawn by the Sabbath. It didn't say we're drawn by the state of the dead, the truth of the state of the dead. So I could say we're not drawn by the truth of the Sabbath. We're not drawn by the truth of the state of the dead. And these are truths. Truths that if you don't know and accept, eventually you're going to be lost. Why? Because following that truth? No, the truth becomes a test of your loyalty and love of God, brothers and sisters. That's how God is going to, he has promised us, iniquity shall not rise the second time. How is he going to keep that promise? He's got to check you out. He's got to check me out. He's got to see, did we pass the test of loyalty, which is the test of love? So that's where those doctrines come in, brothers and sisters. They are tests of our loyalty and love, but it is love. How do you treat your brother? How do you treat your sister? Yes, your blood brother and sister, but yes, also your brother in Christ. Or even your just brother or sister in humanity, brothers and sisters. How do we treat people if we meet out on the street? You know, we are in trouble. If you are prejudiced, you're in trouble. I'm here to tell you you're in trouble if you're prejudiced. If you don't have a Christ-like spirit where even somebody that you think to be wrong, you wouldn't call them, you wouldn't talk to them, you're going to be lost. Because that's not how Jesus was. With loving kindness, he drew people. Now, you might look at a person and say, well, yeah, but what is he doing? She's not reaching out to her husband. He's not helping his former wife or whatever the case. You don't know what you're talking about because you don't know. All you did was listen to a bunch of gossip. And that's what you think. And people lie on people, brothers and sisters. It started in heaven. The Bible calls Lucifer the father of lies. Stop thinking you know so much because you don't know anything. The bottom line is if you want to know something, find out about the character of Christ. And when you find out more of the character of Christ, then you might be able to have a chance of making an end, brothers and sisters. Oh, have mercy on us. So love, love. Hosea 11:4. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. God draws us with love. He doesn't draw us with militantism, if there is such a word. He does not draw us with racial camaraderie. Is that a word? Anyway, I'm making up these words if they're not. I'll think about them later. You're not going to be saved if you don't like people of another color. You're not going to be saved if you don't love homosexuals because you've got to love people, brothers and sisters. They're not going to be drawn away from that sin. You know, most of them, if they told the truth, they got involved in it because something happened to them when they were a child. That should tell them this isn't normal, okay? But they don't reason that way. It felt good, you know? And every abuse doesn't always hurt. And sometimes when it hurts, it causes people to not like that gender. So a woman who's abused might not like men. A man who is abused, it may feel good, and that's where his, at a certain point in his life, as the hormones started going, that's where his mind starts experiencing that, and therefore he's on a downward trajectory. Okay, the devil wants that, but brothers and sisters, God is stronger than all that. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't know of any religion that can take a dirty old sinner and make him a son of God. Come on. There's no religion better than true Christianity. I'm not talking about this fake stuff where people just try to defend their own denomination. I'm talking about living a way that living like Jesus lived and following the Bible truth, no matter how unpopular it is. See, what I teach is not popular, brothers and sisters. It's the truth, but it's not popular. If you don't believe it's the truth, show me from the Bible. Listen to this message, listen to the one on Sabbath morning, and then show me from the Bible that what I'm teaching is not truth. The reason why I need you to listen to Sabbath morning is because we're going to show you how to study the Bible. See, a lot of people, men do err, not knowing the scriptures, know the power of God. God told us why. So we're talking about God's power today. It's called love. The power of God is love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, I've been talking a lot about race because we're headed for a racial-based civil war here in America. I'm just going to tell it to you like it is, because that's the way it is, okay? You'll say, oh, no, it's not. There's black people in the Republican Party. Yeah, they're gonna have some black people in the Republican Party, and the reality is, brothers and sisters, and please understand, I'm not talking about all Republicans, but I am simply saying that's why you don't need to be a part of the Republican Party, because the leader of that party, Donald Trump, he does promote racial challenges. he promotes white supremacy. He does. He was friendly toward those organizations. And so the things that what happened in America on that side of the coin was that a lot of the prejudice and dissatisfaction, because everything's not prejudice, but there was a lot of prejudice on some people's part and dissatisfaction on other people's part, and they felt like they were losing the country. So when this man came up, he's ready to fight, even though he's not telling the truth, even though he's rude, even though he's rough, even though he's unkind, even though he lies, okay, even though he sparked an insurrection, okay, he is the one that they follow, okay? And because they follow him, they ignore all the sin. Now, you know me. I'm not just going to talk about the Republican Party. The Democrats, most Democrats are not homosexual, but they will not deny homosexuality because they know they will lose in an election because they need the vote of this Marxist group that has risen up. That's why Black Lives Matter, brothers and sisters, is not of God. Yes, Black Lives Matter and all lives matter, but that movement was simply a ploy of Marxism to bring about Gay Lives Matter. And the founders were two lesbian people, ladies, who God loves now. God loves them. But they were two, and they are avowed Marxists. Marxist is pretty much mob rule taking over the government by force, okay? And that's what they're doing, and that's what has happened. Okay, the money raised for Black Lives Matter did not go back primarily into the black community to help people of color. It went primarily into the gay community, brothers and sisters. Now, I might have, you know, and so I'm just telling you what I know, what I've seen from my own research, and I'm here to tell you that be careful what movement you get involved in. I didn't get involved in Black Lives Matter, brothers and sisters. I just love black people, and I love white people, and I love Hispanic people, and I love Asian people. Let me tell you something. I don't care what Muslims will tell you. I don't care what some Christians will tell you. I don't care what – I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You go back to the Tower of Babel, we were all one race. God told them, be fruitful and multiply, disperse. They wouldn't do it. They had just come out of the flood, and that spirit of rebellion had still raised and ripened itself. And so they said, we're going to figure out how God did this rain thing. And so they said, we're going to build a tower all the way to heaven. And so God said, okay, you won't obey? And he confounded the language. So when they asked for a hammer, somebody sent them a chisel. They asked for a chisel, somebody sent them a hammer. They asked for a brick, they sent them mortar. They asked for mortar, they sent them a brick. There were fights, and there was even bloodshed, brothers and sisters. And the bottom line is, people just look like they're crazy, like I'm speaking, and this person's not understanding what I'm talking about. So then people who understood people, they connected together. People who understood people, they connected together. God confounded the language, and they couldn't work together. They didn't even speak the same language, and so they finally dispersed. Some were near the equator. Their cells, in order to survive when there's a lack of sun, develop more a rapid rate of production of melanin from the melanocytes, and then some had less production of melanin from melanocytes. Those are skin cells that are pigment cells, so that they can get all that vitamin D from the sun because they're lighter skin, because they're in a climate that's far from the equator. And over generations of time, they pass on those genes to their children, to their children, to their children, and the hair gets a little straighter, and the tone, skin tone gets a little lighter. The simple fact that a black man and a white woman, or a white man and a black woman, can have a beautiful baby, that shows you that there is no difference between races. There is no difference, brothers and sisters. And if you understand, as we do a little bit about physiology, your skin has two major layers, the dermis and the epidermis. And the epidermis has several layers. And right under the top layer, which is called the stratum corneum, there is another layer where the melanocytes pretty much live. And if you could take away that layer, if you peel back that layer, there's no difference hardly between a black man and a white man or any other race of people. In other words, we're all prejudiced, but it's really not that deep. It's right under the top layer of your skin that you either have less melanocytes or more melanocytes, and that's the basic difference between a black man and a white man. And we have all this mindset of black power and supremacy versus Aryan power and supremacy, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you there is no difference. Now, I'm not here to say we live in a world, we got to be realistic. You know, you live in this world, and am I encouraging interracial marriages? I'm not encouraging them. I'm not condemning them. I'm just simply saying there's no difference, okay? And so in us, from a biblical perspective, so all this prejudice is not of God. It's not of God. There's nothing inferior about being black, and there's nothing inferior about being white or superior about being black or white or any other race. That's what the Bible teaches. This is all simply the Tower of Babel. So all this stuff, brothers and sisters, that you hear in Islam and even certain areas of Christianity, it's all hogwash. Doesn't even line up. Hosea 11:4 says, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I drew them with cords of man. If you want to draw somebody, you got to have love. Love draws, friend, not force, not even all the right doctrine. Love is what draws people. That's what the Bible teaches. Now we go to 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Friends, I could be the son of God? Yes, by adoption. And God says, that's so awesome love. John said, we got to behold that. Look at that. Behold what manner. He said, look at it. If you keep your eyes on Jesus and you understand this plan of redemption, you wouldn't be a part of the nation of Islam. You wouldn't even be confused. A lot of people get confused. They get disoriented, dissatisfied with Christianity. A lot of people would be Christians if it wasn't for Christians. Most Christians don't understand the gospel, friend. I'm sad. It's really sad. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. What keeps us back from doing what is wrong? It's not force. It's love. The love of Christ constraineth us. What keeps me from hitting somebody back because they hit me? It's love. The love of Christ constraineth us. And so a lot of people, as we talk about cowardice versus courage, they think that that means if you fight me, I'm going to beat you up. I'm not scared of you. Let me tell you what gives you courage. It's love. The love of God is what gives you courage. There's no fear in love, the Bible says, because perfect love casteth out all fear. So when we truly have love, we're not afraid. So when you're afraid, ask God to help you to love more. That's what you need, friends. For though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, as we talk about this power, this courage, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't operate based on the force and manipulation that you see in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some of us have strongholds. That some of us are possessed by devils, brothers and sisters. We got strongholds upon us, holds of bitterness, holds of confusion, holds of anger and discontent. Only God's love can pull that stronghold down, my friend. But here's what you have to do. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Somewhere in the past, a homosexual thought about, maybe I like people of my own gender. That was an imagination. If he had cast it down and said, what does the Bible say? He wouldn't have gone down that path. Many a fornicator. I think I want to do this before I get married. It started as a thought. And brothers and sisters, it did not end well. And it's not going to end well because you're not at peace. Notice what it says in Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Now you're talking about courage and power. You can't even control your own temper, and you think you got power? No, you don't have any power. You can't even control your own temper. What does the Bible say? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That's the power of God. Having the power over your own spirit. Oh, my friends, it is love that gives you courage, that makes us courageous. And when you respond in kind, when you are not treated right and you respond with physical violence and force, so on and so forth. Now, I'm not talking about defending yourself, brothers and sisters, and keeping somebody from beating you up or whatever. I don't believe the Bible condemns self-defense. I'm talking about somebody that just made you mad and you want to retaliate, okay? That's not God. That's not love. And the power of love will show who is really noble and respected. You know, Desmond Doss, read his story. Conscientious objector, Sabbath keeper in World War II. Would not carry a weapon. Would not work on the Sabbath. And they beat him up. They tried to throw him out of the army. He was a medic. And when they went into Guam and into Okinawa, he should have had 15, he should have had 100 medals of honor. Most Medal of Honor winners do one great act. He did act after act with no weapon, would go in and retrieve his buddies. And even he was almost killed by his own people because he would treat the Japanese if he saw a Japanese soldier down because he loved God, okay? And so, brothers and sisters, that's what love is. And it got so – he was such a powerful force that when they had orders from the top to attack, Desmond Doss was off that day, and they asked him, we don't have a medic. And, you know, the morale will be really low. Do you mind going with us? He said, I need to have my personal devotion first. They sent a the message all the way up to the chain of command. We want to wait for Desmond Doss to finish his devotion, because when he's with us, we are better off. And the chain of command, a general approved it and said, okay, we'll wait for him to finish his devotion first. That's the power of love, brothers and sisters. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angel song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angel song. I hope you can look past my early morning scratchy, scrubby voice and hear the words of that song, because, brothers and sisters, that is where courage comes. The love of God is an experience that most people, PhDs, politicians, presidents, statesmen, have never experienced. I'm here to tell you, you can have that love today. You have to surrender your heart to God. Just ask him to take your heart. And if I've told the truth, ask him if I've told the truth, that you will experience that love, because it will change your life, my friends. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for the love of God. We ask, Father, that you will bless us now as we move forward, for we have learned the power of God, for it is your love. We ask, Father, that you will be with us now as we seek your face today, and everything that we have to do, we pray that you will work it out. We pray that as we approach nearer to the Sabbath, that you will help us to keep it, putting aside all secular work and worshiping you on that day. Father, we pray that we will have the love of God so much so that we will want to honor you in every possible way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, remember, no broadcast tomorrow. On Sabbath, we'll be back to kind of do a part two of this message at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 Central. And then we will not be able to have our Sabbath service at 12. So that's our schedule. Please keep everything in prayer, as we also are in the midst of our holistic wellness coach training, wonderful training. And if you don't know about it, contact me about it. We'll let you know how to get in at a future time. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to have our final salutation, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.